This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Beautiful. Was that a cover?
If it was, then I don't recognize the song.
You know what's odd to me? I didn't recognize the tune of the words, but the guitar, the riff, and the muzak sounded a bit like, you know that song, I Smell Sex and Candy?
Oh, yeah. I smell sex and candy.
Yeah, didn't it sound like
here,
hanging around downtown by myself, and I've
yeah.
had too much caffeine.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Tight.
Yeah.
Very good. Hey, how are you, man? You were at the doctor for a while, while yesterday, dealing with your vertigo.
I got tests done. Yeah.
Have any of them come back positive, negative, or otherwise?
I don't have...
Inconclusive, as it were?
I don't have tumors in my brain.
That's... a huge start, right?
Yeah, huge.
That's got to feel good.
That's
got to
good...
feel very... When they're testing for that, like, what is the certainty level that that's what you have?
I'm assuming I don't, because then I would be, like, dying. And I feel, like, relatively fine, except for when I stand up.
Interesting. Because if that were happening to me, I'd be like, well, there it goes. I have tumors. I had a good run, didn't I?
There was definitely a time in the MRI where I'm like, even if I died, like 36 solid healthy years is fine.
That's bad, man.
Yeah,
that's
like so I can be happy with that.
No, that's insane.
That's officially not a tragedy to me.
Really? No, that's a full-on tragedy. You haven't accomplished jack shit, frankly. So I feel like you have so much, or at least I hope you have a long life ahead of you so you can actually get something done.
Yeah.
What did you say?
No, I think I've done stuff.
What would like the eulogy? I have to go up there and I'm like, Amir lived a long, good, happy, successful life. He was
sure.
He was Adrian in Harold and Kumar 3.
Yeah,
and,
well, you don't have to read
we did
my
a web
credits.
Series together.
Yeah, I think it would be more about me as a man, but yeah, I'm sure you can read some of the credits.
A shot pilot passed on and a pilot script passed on.
Yeah,
Lonely and Horny season 3 in the garbage.
Thumbing through your email on your iPhone. What else?
That was a pass.
We got notes.
That email bounced back.
Yeah.
This one's in our court, but I didn't really see it going anywhere. Development's a slow process.
Is all. Anyway, let's bring up who else we got.
I guess he didn't have a wife. Here's Avital, who he was living with. Not even engaged.
She broke up with him. That makes sense.
Damn it, really?
Yeah.
So what else what else did they test for?
A bunch of stuff that I don't know yet. That's like everything from like, what if you got a fungal bacteria in Mexico, or like, What if you have an ear infection?
And how do they test that? Do they take, they look at the MRI, or do they take blood?
Blood, MRI, spine stuff.
They took shit out of your spine?
Yeah, spinal tap.
So, like, what if there's just nothing that, like, is it possible that they're just going to be like, yeah, we didn't really know what the dizziness thing is, but...
your vitamin D is low.
That thorough of a test, I wouldn't mind having that done.
Yeah, just give me a fucking soup to nuts checkup.
How much of your body was inside the MRI?
From my head down to my waist.
Wow.
They stopped. They said that my dick, which I can't believe this, my dick was too big to
no way.
To get
they
like
said
an
it
MRI.
Couldn't fit in the MRI machine. Your whole entire body was in it.
Yeah.
Your head to your waist, but they couldn't fit your cock.
Yeah. That's what they said. They're like, the cock might be too big. I'm like, yeah, I understand that. And they're like, we can try. I'm like, it doesn't matter. It's probably not there anyway.
No fucking chance. No chance.
Yeah, no chance. No chance it goes in.
Wow. That's obscene.
It was pornographic.
Damn, you're the man, Blumenfeld.
Tumors up and down my body. You're a fucking king, man.
Your dick is only big because it's a giant tumor.
Oh, God. What else do we have to talk about that's darker than this? How's your ass?
Yeah, you know, good. Things are good. I'm going to London tomorrow.
That's right. By the time this comes out, you'll be in London.
Yes, I will. And it's kind of fun going from the East Coast because I am not even taking a red eye. Like, in L.A., that's just not even an option, you know?
Yeah, interesting. It's, like, equidistant between London and L.A., right?
Yeah, it's a pretty easy flight, evidently. I guess we'll see. I do have a predicament, as it were, that I would not mind your help with, if you have a moment.
Okay.
I'm trying to bring only two pairs of shoes. I mean, I'm definitely going to bring only two pairs of shoes, okay?
Okay.
Now, here's my predicament.
Yeah,
I'm worried that it's going to rain while I'm there because London has that notorious drizzly, foggy weather.
Yeah, sorry. I had a kind of a near-death scenario yesterday, so it's kind of hard for me to switch gears. But yeah, it might rain.
You were the one that you said you wanted to switch gears. You were like, I'm doing this to distract you from your... from your cock accident.
No, thank you. Anyway, it'll be foggy.
I mean, it might be... Well, the thing is, I think it might be sunny. But man, I didn't mean to steamroll you with my packing if you want to talk about your mortality a bit more.
No, it's good. It's good. This is good.
Right. Okay, so the spinal shot, tumor's benign. 36 is a good run.
No tumors.
Yeah, so I have sneakers.
Uh-huh.
I have a sneaker.
Uh-huh.
And I have... a van.
Not even a car. The two shoes.
No, so the two, I'm definitely going to bring some white slip-on Vans. Okay. Those are easy packable shoes that in a way can make it doesn't really dress up an outfit, but it doesn't dress anything down as much as running shoes do.
Yeah.
And I do want to go on I want to be able to jog while I'm abroad.
Abroad.
And my question really is, should I bring the Nike Shield waterproof running sneakers that I have, or should I bring the Ultra Boost Flyknit, or whatever the version of Flyknit is for Adidas?
I think you got to go less Flyknit the better, what with the moisture in the air and all.
And I guess it will be chilly.
But you can handle that with a sock situation.
It looks like the weather is changing, and it's going to be like low 60s and sunny, which kind of makes me feel like, shit, am I going to be too toasty in an unbreathable fabric of a waterproof shoe? I'm freaking out.
Yeah, you should. It really doesn't matter. I mean, like, do your feet ever get hot in a shoe? I don't know. You just wear
it. Do your feet get hot? Yeah, they do get hot in a shoe. Man, sometimes I wish you would have fucking tumors and just die, man.
What? Jesus Christ.
No, I'm just saying, I know that you got like shots in your spine, but some people have bigger problems.
Yeah.
It's just not really fair for you to like...
Yeah, you were talking about having kind of hot feet?
kind of hot, really hot.
Yeah, that's fine. You sweating your feet, I guess.
Sweaty fucking socks.
Yeah, sweaty socks.
On a vacation? Yeah, that's pretty uncomfortable. Right? It's almost as comfortable as 40 minutes in an MRI in Santa Monica when your parents aren't showing up to hang out or support you and your girlfriend's not responding to your text, which I know is something that you dealt with yesterday.
Yeah. It was just okay. the reception at the hospital was spotty at best, I guess.
Well, your text to me came through complaining that no one was showing up. And it sounded like your parents were able to respond to say they weren't going to be there.
Yeah, no, they're at Rosti down the street. They're getting dinner at Rosti.
Reception and distance wasn't really an issue.
No, not at all.
Yeah. So I'm just saying we all have problems. You don't have a supportive and loving family, and it seems like you are dying from an ailment. And I guess I could bring a bigger backpack and just carry a third pair of shoes, now that I think about it.
Yeah, I don't even think you need a third pair of shoes as much as you do. I mean, you'll have two pairs of shoes. One as a backup or whatever.
So you vote shield.
Yeah, I vote shield, I guess.
Do you mind if I pull up the weather in foggy London town?
Right now?
Yeah, I'll just see how good this advice is of yours. I mean, 59, yeah, it's low enough. It's low enough. That's nice. You actually might have a point for once, Blumenfeld.
So I did give you helpful advice. I mean, you're just madder about it.
I want to bring the fly nets. They're a bit more comfortable.
Yeah, so bring the fucking fly net and like wear it when it's not raining.
All right, fine. But the fucking point of this podcast is for you and I to have debates. So if you're just like, whatever you want, then it's not really anything, you know? If we don't have discussions, what do we do?
Yeah, I mean, we got some questions. Maybe people could.
We still answer questions? Yeah.
No, that's all we do usually.
Who could have?
You know, we're recording.
Who could have a more important problem than me? I really wonder, because I don't know which shoes to bring on vacation.
Yeah, and you're bringing two pairs.
I didn't mean to call.
You're
this
bringing
vacation.
Both.
It's actually work.
Yeah.
It's actually work.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I'll go shield.
Nice, dude.
Whatever.
You're mad.
Okay, questions. Yeah, no, let's go to questions. Problem solved, right?
Yeah.
Just gloss over it. I'm still going to stew on this for hours after we're done.
At a certain point, you're going to have to get on the flight.
I know. Jill's meeting me. I'll have her bring my other shoes.
No, do not have... You already have two pairs of shoes. Do not make your wife bring an extra pair for you.
Well, I won't have two pairs of shoes. I'm going to have at least five or six pairs of shoes. I had some shipped to London. One is going to meet me in my hotel in Manchester. The other one in London.
Yeah, that's
and then I'll
are
probably
you bringing
buy
anything
another.
Else? Do you have a jacket? What's your jacket situation?
That's a great question, man. I'm
oh my God. So much more important.
No, I have a jacket. I have a jacket. It's a blue bomber that is waterproof. No hood, but it's waterproof. And I feel like that's pretty solid.
All right, so this is If I Were You, an advice podcast. Jake and I dispense our wisdom.
Where we talk about what I pack to go on trips.
we just sort of go piece by piece, by layering piece, to figure out what to pack and what to keep.
I think people are interested to know how many pairs of socks I brought. If I brought ankle socks, no show, or athletics, because the interesting thing is on a trip like this, you have to perform, you have to commute, you have to travel, and then also you like to exercise. So what do you wear that you can hop on the train, that you can hop on stage, and that you can go out to cocktails in? It's hard.
Okay,
so I have a system, and I'd be happy to talk about my system.
All right, real quick. Go through the fucking socks.
Okay, thank you. So I have six pairs of ankle socks.
Oh my God, you were so ready to give that up. You wanted to talk about the socks so badly. I barely offered it. Six pairs. Got it. We got a question from a 25-year-old.
I also have four pairs of no-shows.
Nice.
Because no-shows.
25-year-old.
Okay.
Yeah, from England, actually. So this guy might be able to help you out, maybe if you help him out.
Maybe he'll even be at one of my shows.
Yeah. Maybe. Actually, can he...
Bring me socks. If you see me on stage, bring me socks.
And a size 11, really anything breathable Nike, ideally waterproof.
Mm-hmm.
25-year-old male Brit here. We'll call this guy... I don't know. Who's a 25-year-old male Brit? Prince something or other?
Prince Harry?
Yeah, Prince Harry. He's a young guy.
Yeah, sure.
Prince Harry writes, a friend of mine is performing stand-up for the first time next week, and I'm not sure whether to go or not. We're super close friends, and the concern is that if he's terrible, it will be very awkward giving feedback or forcing out laughter amongst the sea of dead expressions. Normally, I would err on the side of being supportive, but what makes this so difficult is that it's overwhelmingly likely that he will be terrible. He hasn't practiced, he hasn't written anything down, and his sense of humor is very niche. I also don't have anybody else to go with, so I'm going to have to sit alone with the role of supportive friend. Sit alone and the role of supportive friend would solely fall on me. What do I do?
Wait,
kind regards, Prince Harry.
All right, Prince Harry. It's friend, not romantic thing.
Friend, yeah.
Friend, go. You just go.
You just go and watch him bomb and say, fucking lame crowd.
Exactly. And there's a chance that'll surprise you. I remember the first time I saw my sister perform stand-up comedy, and I didn't really know what to expect, but I was like, this is my duty as a brother. And I'd been in the comedy scene. I knew what bad comedy looked like. I knew it was like an open mic, that it's like a bringer show. And I was like, she's just starting out. If it's not good, just like be encouraging, be positive. And then she crushed, and it was awesome. And I was happily surprised that I did not have to like lie and say it was good, or my worst fear was that I was gonna have to like console her afterwards, and I didn't have to do it at all.
Your worst fear was that you had to be a consoling older brother. Yeah, clearly, because I'm fucking pouring my heart out to you and you want to talk about socks. Well, your worst fear is consoling
it's
people.
Not that. Okay, all right, dude, first of all, that was my worst fear was her feeling bad. So then I'd be consoling, okay? And I resent that. And the other thing, my sock game is kind of more interesting than, I'm sorry, but your life or death.
You're not sorry. You're laughing. You're laughing to my face.
I'm not.
Now you're coughing.
I'm aghast that
it
I said
it. Looks like you're like agog. Okay. I don't know what agog is, but it's clearly that.
Mm-hmm. Agog.
Yeah, I really think you're agog. Let me look up what the word agog is. Do you know what the word agog is?
No. I've never heard that before in my life, frankly.
A-G-O-G definition. Very, very eager and curious to hear or see something.
Oh.
You're absolutely agog.
I was agog to be sure.
I would agree with that. You do go, worst case scenario, you console, you say the crowd was bad, keep up the good work. There are worse things in the world.
Right. You go for your bud, he'd go for you.
You didn't see the movie Joker, right?
I did not.
Okay. So one of the scenes in Joker, a movie I thought was god awful, is Joker.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to see it. Maybe someday on a plane. I don't know if I will.
Yeah, I want you to see it just so... I don't know if I want you to agree that it was bad so we can talk about it, or disagree with me so we can discuss it. But he's a mentally troubled, like literally diagnosable mentally ill man, like schizophrenic, paranoid, can't speak, has nervous laughter, tics, habits, whatever. And he does stand up at one point.
Oh, God.
And one of his jokes is like actually... They only show him do two jokes. One of them is really bad because he can barely speak, and the other one is kind of funny. This is the joke. When I was a kid, I told all my friends I wanted to do stand-up comedy. This is after he bombed. So he goes, when I was a kid, I told all my friends I wanted to do stand-up comedy, and they all laughed at me. Well, nobody's laughing now.
That is good. Yeah.
So that's pretty good, right? So yeah. The whole point of the movie is that joke is so bad that Robert De Niro, a late-night TV host, shows the clip of him, a mentally ill person, bombing at a comedy club, that joke, and then it cuts back to Robert De Niro, and he goes, you can say that again, and everyone cracks up. He just retold the joke. That's the point of the joke, is that he was making fun of himself.
That's bad writing, to be sure. That would also just never, ever, ever happen.
Of course, yeah. So much stuff in this movie would never, ever, ever happen. And then... Especially because it takes place in like the early 80s. So the idea that they like taped this set of this mentally ill man and send it to a comedy show to make fun of him. And then the joke wasn't that bad. And then that's what sets him off on this killing spree is not ideal, not good.
Yeah, that's definitely crazy.
It was also kind of absurd that this whole point of the movie, the Joker, is that this Joker guy wants to actually tell jokes. I thought that was a little on the nose and silly.
Yeah, that's lame.
Aside of aside of other, like, 300 other things I had problems with. But I'll wait till you actually watch the film.
This guy just wanted to be a comedian.
He is a joker of himself.
Yeah, that's kind of... I mean, the Joker, that seems awful.
Yeah.
I guess I'll see it. I'll watch it.
The Joker, to me, is like an evil genius. This guy is just a mentally ill guy that had a mental problem where he laughed a lot and then wanted to tell actual jokes, which is a little on the nose.
Right. And the Joker is like, the one from Dark Knight, like Heath Ledger's Joker is perfect. It's like, it's chaotic. It's not like silly or goofy. It's like the Joker is an agent of chaos that like throws things out of whack.
Right.
This
guy maybe is, this is like the backstory of how that evil genius came to be, but I highly doubt it. It seems like he just took a DVD of The Dark Knight and took a giant dump on it for 2 hours.
Right.
It ruined an otherwise good movie.
Wow. What is it?
Actually,
what are this dude's other movies?
Don't at me.
What are his other movies?
Hangover, Old School, you know, classic comedies like that.
Interesting.
Yeah. This was his first attempt at like a gritty film. And people loved it.
Is it? I thought the reaction was very mixed.
I think it got like a huge audience rating. Like the people that saw it really, really liked it.
Oh, so a critical not good.
No, critically did fine too. It had like 70% on Rotten Tomato. People liked it fine.
That's so
weird. I'm the weird one. I'm the Joker.
I've heard a lot of people disliking it.
Okay, that's good.
But maybe that's just my small circle.
Maybe just me texting you every other day.
From different numbers.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back, answer some more questions, talk about more socks after this.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes, yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah, I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, mm-hmm. and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog, and it is a slog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite. Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah, mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike. You're like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their full name.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace. Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Wow. Very excited.
Jake, did you know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they just completely forgot about?
I did know that, but only because we've done one of these ads before, and I was floored when I found out.
Yeah, streaming content, you download an app to learn a thing, and then 13 months later, you're paying $6.95 for a flexibility course that you haven't taken since 2022.
Mm-hmm. You're stiff as a board. I mean, my God.
That's going to happen. Well, thank you, because Rocket Money is a personal finance app.
That's right.
That finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower those bills so you can grow your savings.
Beautiful.
Rocket Money sort of scours your bill. They say, get rid of this, this, that, and the other, and then you can suddenly find yourself with some extra cash in your pocket.
Exactly right. kids.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions. Holy smokes.
Really good.
An average of $740 a year when you use the app's robust features. You found some stuff on Rocket Money that you canceled, right?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, you don't have to name names, of course, but like what? You saved, I thought you said close to $1,500, $1,600 a month?
That's, hey, easy does it.
A lot of gray area, okay. Quasi-legal,
no,
kind
no.
of dangerous subscriptions that Rocket Money me. Found.
That wasn't me.
And canceled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually now I want them back.
I'm scared without them. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Oh, yeah.
That's rocketmoney.com/segments. rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Rocket Money. And we're back. Jake, do you have any?
On to Let's Do It If I Can. Mom, I'm coming.
Gross. Yeah. You know, I've been reading a book that I've very much enjoyed. A book series, actually.
Oh.
It is the Master and Commander book series, which was recommended to me by none other than Thomas Middleditch.
It's like Game of Thrones, but on a boat in the 1900s.
1800s, bub.
19th century.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So it's just really, really good. It's the story of, it's called the Aubrey Maturin series or something like that, or Adventures. And it's the these two friends, Captain Jack Aubrey and the ship's naval surgeon, Stephen Maturin. And they have this really charming friendship and go on all of these crazy adventures together, and they're always on ships and they're at war and there are battles and there are love interests, and it's just fucking, it's great. I love it.
How many books are there? Like, if you're into it, you could just read this for months and months.
Yes. That was the other thing that I was really excited about, because Game of Thrones, I like burned through and then I was stuck. I didn't have anything else to read. But this series is 20 books long. I'm already on book 6.
It's funny, when you were talking about Game of Thrones and how like you would read the books and rewatch the episodes, I was always like, wow, how can something be so good that you'd want to do that? And then I'm like, I guess now I like Succession enough that I would rewatch season 1.
Yeah, and if there was a Succession book that went a little bit further than where the TV show is right now, would you read it?
Yeah, I would definitely give it a try. And I'm like, if this is just as good as the show, I would have to read it all.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened to me.
Especially because, would you say Succession's first two seasons you like better than Game of Thrones, or is Game of Thrones still your goat?
I think it's interesting. I think Game of Thrones is still my goat, but like Succession to me has really basically never had a bad episode, even though there are like some storylines, like some elements of like the overall show that I'm like less into. I feel like every single episode a bunch of stuff happens. My favorite characters do great things. It's super funny. It's really well shot. It's surprising. It's like overall just consistently great.
What'd you do during the finale, like the last 5 minutes when you saw that huge turn? Without giving away what the story was, did you like, I like stood up and like started cheering. Like it was like an awesome sports moment.
I can imagine you doing that. And I wish I saw that. I sort of like felt like it was going to come in the last like minute, so I'd mentally prepared for it. But when it happened, my jaw dropped. I turned to Jill and we were both like, wow, you know.
Is she fully on board at this point?
A muted awe. Yeah, she loves it.
I think the last time I felt like that over a TV show was like when Gus got blown up in Breaking Bad and then he walks out and collapses.
Yeah, that was fucking awesome.
It was just like a cool stand up and cheer moment of a TV show.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, you do kind of forget that Logan Roy is like, he is a bad guy.
Yes. It's funny that
it's weird because like,
but then again, so are his children in theory.
Yeah. And so are like the people trying to take over his company and stuff. But like, I find myself feeling bad for him. Like, oh man, like he's going to get pushed out. And then I'm like, oh, he like made people crawl around on the floor begging for a sausage.
Yeah.
He is a piece of shit.
How good was that Stewie scene where he's like, yes, you will shove my dick in my cock and a million cocks in my balls. Listen, man, like whatever you say, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's such a great way of cutting him down. It's like, all your threats are fake, so I'm not actually scared by them.
That doesn't work for us.
just so instantly declined.
Yeah, goddamn. Oh, that like that's Logan is most vulnerable too.
Yeah, and also doesn't he like throw Kendall under the bus during that fucking conversation?
Does he? I don't remember.
He's
that.
Like, you can have Kendall's board seat. And Kendall's like, ah, wow.
Oh,
did not agree to that.
Yeah, he was, yeah, totally.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, he's fucking bad to him.
If you haven't watched Succession, do that. You have 20 amazing episodes to get through.
Goddamn, wouldn't that be fun?
We got a D&D question, which, you know.
Apropos, before I go.
Apropos of your trip. Are all tickets sold out? Do you need a shout out?
No, they are sold out. We're sold out in Manchester, sold out in London.
Don't even bother showing up at this point. Even if you bought a ticket.
We're selling, I had some t-shirts made in Manchester. It was actually a real pleasure dealing with some international printers. They're so charming. They said cheers a lot.
Do you think we should bring that to America? Cheers never made it over, but it's such a big thing.
Yeah, cheers would be nice. I could say cheers. I could start saying cheers, I think.
Yeah.
Definitely because I've been reading this book that's has so many British characters.
You're an absolute Anglophile.
My ancestors are from jolly old England.
So it stands to reason.
Forsooth.
So this is a D&D-based question.
Okay.
And it actually gets a little hot.
Hmm.
Hi, hard one and loser that doesn't play D&D. Ouch.
Wow.
I've DM'd for this group of two dudes and three girls that were friends from high school for a couple months now, and it's been pretty cool because we are all well into the role play of it, and we got really invested in the characters. After all sessions, I got to hook up with one of the chicks, and she told me that she was a virgin and felt really anxious about having sex, and I may have had the most stupid idea ever. I told her that we should roleplay it as her character that was a tiefling bard. She really enjoyed the sex, and so did I. Now every time we hook up, she gets into character, and it's getting weird, and I get conscious on how bizarre the situation is. Sex was really good, though, and she is very pretty, and I want to date her, and I think she feels the same way. How can I tell her that I don't want to keep having sex with her without the roleplay, though? Thanks. Love. I didn't get this guy name. Is there a British person in your D&D?
A British? Well, I guess Apple Scrumper, because she was played by Siobhan Thompson. But we'll just call him Apple.
Okay, Apple. Do you know what a tiefling bard is?
Yes. Tiefling is a Dungeons & Dragons race that is sort of like fairy-y, but they have horns and a tail, and they're usually like purple or blue. And a bard is a class, which is like usually some kind of performancy based class, like a singer or a play or an actor or something. But they'll do dancer or something. But they have weapons and spells and stuff.
So would it be nice to have sex with a tiefling bard?
Yeah, that's one of the hotter classes, I would imagine.
Mm.
It's sort of like having sex with a ballerina in the real world. I think.
Have you combined your passions yet? Have you done research into D&D roleplay sex? Porn?
No. I've not. I've never even looked at like fantastical porn, like Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones style porn.
Which that definitely exists.
Definitely. And that like would seemingly be up my alley, but it doesn't interest me.
I guess
porn is fantasy enough. It's a different kind of fantasy.
Yeah.
I don't need double fantasy there. I think I also like the fantasy that I need in porn is to pretend like everyone likes it. No one's getting paid. I don't like seeing people in a whole bunch of like weird costumes. It like becomes way too real that it's produced and weird.
Yeah. So it's like two negatives makes it even more obvious that it's fake.
Man, I think this is like, I feel like this is pretty straightforward though. Like it is great that you did the role play to make everybody feel comfortable, but you don't have to continue it. But you also don't have to be like, we have to end the role play, because in retrospect, that could make the good sex uncomfortable, you know, like coloring it in a negative way. Like, oh geez, I was being so awkward. He didn't even like that. He hates it, you know?
Yeah.
So I think what you do, especially if you like her, you want to date her, you sort of transition by saying, let's do one where we're just us And that's nice. And you don't have to say that at the sake of saying, this other thing is bad, so let's do this. You just say, let's do this new thing, because it will also be good.
Yeah.
And then you move forward without having to turn your head back in a negative way.
Let's try to role play as a guy who doesn't want to fuck a tiefling bard anymore. And then you be yourself.
No, I don't want to. I thought you were asking me to do it. That was him talking to her, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Great. So you don't want to.
Unless.
You don't want to role play having sex with me?
Should we?
What episode are we on?
405?
Let's do it at 5,000.
Just fucking start making smut. And it will be a Patreon video episode.
That's right.
In 500 years, we'll just fuck on camera.
We'll have to at that point.
Because who cares anymore? All right. Last question.
Yeah, I'm ready if you are, bud.
This one made me laugh. I guess we should go for one last British man, Andy Murray. Andy Murray writes, I've been into this girl for a while now, and everything's going great. We've had some really long chats, and both seem to be into each other. There's only one negative. We were at a house party flirting the roof off, and I was seizing some serious cheese, if you know what I mean. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
We were sitting down on the lawn eating pizza, looking at the stars, when she dropped hers cheese side down on the grass. She then picked it up as if I didn't notice and started eating it. Now I'm not the cleanest or a germ freak by any regard, but it makes me feel ill thinking about all the dogs that would have urinated and shat on that yard. And if she's willing to put up with a germ-infested pizza in her mouth, despite the obvious, what else is she willing to put in her mouth? In all honesty, I think that we could be soulmates, but I'm seriously struggling getting past this hurdle. Is there anything that your wife or girlfriend has done that has grossed you out, and how have you gotten over it? I would appreciate the feedback.
Man, good question. Well, has Avital done anything that was so gross that you couldn't get over it?
She's picked up our dog's shit with her mouth.
That's not bad, though. I mean, obviously you got over it.
Yeah, I got over it. And I'm like, you should use the bag. And she's like, yeah, of course.
She's like, oh, of course. Yummy shit, yummy shit.
No, that actually, none of that has happened. She hasn't.
Obviously.
She hasn't eaten shit or eaten the pizza yeah. off the grass.
Obviously, she never ate shit. Like, I know you don't have to, like, make a joke like that intense and then tell me you're kidding,
the,
you know?
The dog did once urinate.
Okay.
In her mouth.
Really?
As a goof.
Okay, is that one for real, though? Because now I don't fucking know anymore, man.
That one is fake, but what actually happened was a lot worse.
I don't think... obviously, Jill's never done anything that I couldn't get over because we're married.
But is this a thing that would be a non-starter?
I don't think it would be a non-starter. It's more funny than anything.
Could it be a one-off? Were you guys drunk, maybe?
Yeah, and here's my theory. You want to hear my theory?
Yeah.
I don't think that this is like ground pizza and she's like, that's fine. I don't care if things fall on the ground. I think she was just like enjoying the moment and didn't want you to think that the pizza fell, or she didn't want to do something awkward in front of you. It wasn't like she doesn't have hygiene and doesn't care about eating pizza from the grass. She just wanted to be chill in front of you. Unbeknownst to her, this has now backfired extremely because it looks like she eats dirt pizza. But I think you should get over it and forget it ever happened, because she probably thinks you don't know.
Yeah, maybe this is a one-off, and you don't know if this is a one-off or a reoccurring character until it happens again, or doesn't.
Right. Well, you could construct a way to make it happen again.
Okay, what are you thinking?
Now, you say, hey, let's meet. And then you show up with a pie.
Uh-huh, a pizza pie.
A pizza pie. You're like, oh, hey, how's it going, Sally?
Yeah.
And then you walk towards her and stumble, fall, dumping the pie onto the ground.
Yeah.
And then you say, well, this pizza's obviously inedible, I suppose.
Thoughts?
And then see how she reacts.
And if she's like, no, it's fine, it's just pizza, then you sort of like, you have to see where she draws the line. So like the next day you like, oatmeal for two, meet me at the South Lawn. And then the bowls tip over. And obviously oatmeal is a little more viscous, a little more wet. That's like, it's sticking to the grass. It's so thick.
And does she leave it? or does she scoop it back into the bowl?
Yeah, does she use
and
like
say her, this is fine?
Does she use her hands to like sort of like strain the fucking oatmeal off the blades and then just sort of flick it back into the bowl, or is she like, this is too much for me?
That's a great question.
And if she does like lift it up, then like, all right, last things last, before I call this a day, because after all, it is three strikes and you're out. Mm. You show up having had chicken soup, but you have a bowl for her, so it's completely wet. It's water. It's liquid at this point.
Right.
And you say, meet me on the lawn.
Because like, oatmeal can still be scooped.
That's right.
In fashion.
At this point, she will, if she does want to salvage the oatmeal, she'll have to suck on the dirt.
Right.
Which is foul to think, but like maybe she's down.
And that's
like, is there a world
that is
where she shoves the clumps of dirt mud because there was broth in there? And at that point, you'd be like,
at that stage, it is more dirt than food because the water from the soup has gone down into the soil, deep, probably not to be gotten. It would be dirt flavored. It would be soup flavored dirt that she were consuming. That's.
Yeah, and would she want that?
And if she does, do you want that to be in your life? Because you'll never be able to discard food.
No.
Because she'll eat trash and dirt and grass.
And dirt.
To be with you.
Yeah. And that would be like, that's where I have to draw this really wet, dirty line.
I think we solved that one through and through.
Cut to them just sucking dirt for the rest of their lives. And they lived happily ever after. What do you think of the 5-second rule? Are you picking stuff off the ground nowadays?
No, I don't do it at all. Like,
were you a little more lenient in your younger days?
In my younger days, I used to do it for a reaction. But now I am very stressed out about getting sick. I don't like to be ill.
Yeah, and what about if it's at home and you drop like a piece of sandwich?
If it's on the floor, just it's a no-go.
Carpet?
Nothing. I won't do it. What I would do is sometimes if I'm at a restaurant and something falls off of my plate onto the table, that's like depending on how hungry, depending on the establishment type of thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like say you're at a McDonald's and you drop a fry onto the table from the tray. Do you eat that?
Onto the tray, I think the tray is fine.
Oh, tray is fine. So it goes, you're eating on a tray, but you drop off the tray onto the table.
Yeah. I'd like to think I'll put it back on the tray and I'll consider that an emergency fry. And if at the end of the fries, I still want another fry, I'll be like, fine, fuck it. What's the big deal?
Wow. So that would be your last fry.
Yeah.
Your last fry would be a freaking table fry.
Cause you got
to
think
I eat it right away. Cause I'm just like, I need to not think about it. I'll end up eating this, but I'll feel guilty. Or I'm just like going to just like put it in my mouth and forget it ever happened.
And if let's say you have two Filet-O-Fish on a tray and you're walking back to the table from the McDonald's counter and somebody trips you and then the tray goes flying and the Filet-O-Fish sort of opens and then it lands on the ground, sauce side down. So there's the slice of cheese and the tartar sauce. The tartar sauce is on the ground and then you pick it up and you scoop it. You scoop the sauce that like hit the ground with your index finger. You're sort of scraping it off and then you reassemble the sandwich. Are you going to eat that sandwich still?
I'm agog.
What?
I'm agog.
So you're eager to hear or see more about this sandwich?
Uh-huh. I'm agog to hear what you'll do of it.
I gotta fucking eat it. It's a Filet-O-Fish. You can't just buy another one.
Yeah. They don't have another half piece of cheese.
They're out of half pieces of cheese. They'll have to do it with a whole slice.
And that's
foul. At that point, their sandwich is ruined.
Disgusting.
All right. That's it. That's our time. Those are our questions. Thanks for writing in. If you have your own theme song or question, send it to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. The opening one was that Sex and Candy parody.
That's music. Well, or it wasn't a parody. I don't know.
Did I say who sang it, or did we get into like some weird tangents?
We got into some weird tangents, frankly.
It was by Tommy. Tommy Dowdy. So thank you, Tommy from Canada.
Well, okay.
And this closing one is a Drake cover.
Fuck yeah.
From somebody named Chris Willis, a trio of parody songs that he whipped up. The first song is a Drake parody of the song With You that is a reference to the garbage disposal anecdote from the 400th episode. Shout out to my wife's Instagram, Heather DW, because she told me I sounded bad in it. So thanks, Chris, for sending it anyway.
Okay.
And thanks to Chris's wife, who says that he sounded bad in it. And thanks to you guys for listening. If I were you, of course, on our Patreon. That's patreon.com/JA. Bonus Thursday video episodes.
Right on.
And we'll be back, of course, next week. Maybe Jake will be back from London Town.
Indeed. I'll tell you guys how my shoe debacle turned out.
There's a chance we have to record that episode on Monday. So if it's Monday and it's not out yet, no, it'll be out on Tuesday, but with British anecdotes.
And I'll tell you all about my shoes, okay? Everybody's curious.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
I need some help in my life. Busy, I do things, but I listen while I drive. I need to lease a new ride. Is this Car Talk or some other type of show? A home improvement thing, I'm hoping. My disposal is still broken. Georgia Corda couldn't break through. Allen wrench and a corkscrew. You get that photo that I sent you. It'll be fine, cause I'll pay a guy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Okay, I will. It's
can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.